direction for what's going on here, I'm not sure what would.
Well, this also then gets into the area of UFOs, which is a common subject on Dreamland, and you have now interviewed probably as many or more remote viewers as anyone. What is one of the comments from remote viewers about UFOs?
Well, it's interesting because there is even controversy within the remote viewers about UFOs, but what's most fascinating is that none of them say that there's no such animal. They all agree that they have had the experience of seeing in their mind's eye a UFO, their inhabitants, sometimes where they're coming from, sometimes where they're going to. The controversy is over. Some of them think that this should be a prime area of study, and others think that this is just kind of a side issue and that we should use remote viewing for more for things that would help benefit the people here on Earth.
And yet, if we have outside here, and there's so many other eyewitnesses that come into this issue of another intelligence interacting with the planet, if the government of the United States and Army Intelligence and the Central Intelligence Agency have used remote viewing to access things both past and current, armaments, perhaps even looking for Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq War, what have remote viewers seen or ascertained about what's in these objects that we call UFOs?
Well, the first thing to understand is that we're not talking about little green men from Mars. We're talking about many races and many different species of beings that they see out there in the universe, most of which have little or nothing to do with the Earth. There's only a handful of races who come to the Earth, and apparently with different motives.
All right, I'd like to interrupt for a second. Jim, I want to ask you two things about remote viewing. It was never my understanding that remote viewing could look through time as well as across space. I always thought it was a sort of, I can see what's going on, for example, in Moscow through the eyes of somebody else or through my own ability, but I'd never heard before that remote viewing could occur across time. So
let me address that. That's question one. That's one of the things they discovered while working at SRI with this phenomenon. They were doing experiments where they would send out a team of people who would have computer-generated locations in sealed envelopes, and when they got out a certain distance, they would open the envelope and go to this location. Meanwhile, back at the laboratory, a remote viewer would, at a certain time, try to see if he could envision where these people were, and they had some tremendous success with this particular experiment. They had a fellow named Pat Price, who was a former police inspector, and he apparently had some very fine human psychic ability. And what they suddenly discovered was, on one particular occasion, was that Pat Price gave them a very definite, clear description of the location 20 minutes before the people arrived there. So they began to realize, did some other experimentation, and concluded that this remote viewing ability is not necessarily limited by time. There are several other examples I could give to you, but that was one of the things they determined.
Sorry, we're short on time. Jim, one other question. A psychic warfare, that's what you called it.
The psychic warfare program, right.
Yeah, would it be called more properly psychic warfare, which implies an ability to do damage, or psychic sight, or maybe psychic spying? In other words, is there the ability with the power of the mind to affect others one way or the other?
This was one of the things they were very concerned about, and there may be other programs using other methodology. For instance, ELF, extremely low frequency, maybe even MK Ultra type mind control things that would impinge on that. But the remote viewers that I have talked to, the Sci-Spies, have said that over a period of time they came to realize that apparently you cannot physically do anything to anybody. You can simply look.
All right, that was important. Linda?
Yes, one other thing to show how what a hard science in a way this is. Ingo Swann, one of the pioneers and stars of the government's program, remote viewed the planet Jupiter approximately 6 years before we had the Voyager pass by. Out of that actual scientific experimentation, they did learn something that Ingo Swann had in his notebooks, and which I've seen with my own eyes, that there was a small ring of debris around the planet Jupiter, and that there were various things he commented about, the electromagnetic fields of Jupiter and other things in the clouds, that they did discover 6 years later. And it is those, it is that kind of combination of being able to verify after remote viewing, which continues to put it into the area of a harder science rather than something that is speculative.
How are we ever going to get our hands on any hard data? I assume we will not, not from the government anyway.
I would doubt so.
Yeah, is there any private research going on? Can either one of you answer that might yield documentation?
Unfortunately, there's none that I know of, and this is something that definitely needs to be done. This is a very labor-intensive type operation. To make it work and to increase the accuracy of the remote viewing, you need to target maybe a dozen remote viewers against one target, and then you synthesize the information, find the threads of commonality, and your the accuracy of what they're seeing increases and pushes upwards close to the 100% accuracy. But to do this requires trained people using methodology with lots of time,
sure,
a concerted program, and that requires money. And the military and the CIA, of course, keep their experiments to themselves, and the government and most standard traditional scientists would say, oh, well, this doesn't work anyway, and so the money's not there to do it.
All right, well, we're almost out of time. Linda knows some people that have money that that sometimes invest...
Every once in a while.
Yeah, that invest in this kind of thing from time to time. Linda, do you know of anything privately going on?
I don't know anything privately in this area, but Jim says that as of the spring of this year, he knew that there were funded remote viewing exercises going on in the government.
All right, you two, we're out of time. Linda, give your information, contact information, please.
All right. The 800 toll-free number for information about my work is 800-707-9993. That's 800-707-9993. And you can write to me at Linda Howe, Post Office Box 538 in Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania, zip code 19006. I'm interested in anybody's information out there, whether it's in government remote viewing. People can talk to me off the record, or eyewitness encounters with some of the phenomena we discuss on Dreamland. And my fax number is area code 215-491-9842. That's 215-491-9842. And in the coming year, as Jim's books come out, Art, I think it'd be very interesting to look at remote viewing and some other areas he's going to deal with the phenomena related to UFOs.
All right. Well, Linda, get us privately some contact information for Jim, and maybe we'll have him on as a guest.
All right. I will. And happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone and to all of our new radio stations.
Indeed. And to you, Jim, thank you very much. And both of you, take care. That's Linda Howe. And it's certainly good to have her on the program, running very short on time for about, several months now anyway. We've been telling you about the new currency that is on the way. North American...
From the Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
We have a genuine mystery here. I just got a fax from Dean in Kauai, and I'll read it to you verbatim. Aloha, Art. Just wanted to let you know, I've heard nothing about the 8.5 reported quake on Friday night, Saturday morning. Now, I heard it via the ABC News feed, yet when I called their office in New York, they denied making the report. I did hear it. So did many others. What was it? Any clues? No, Dean, I've got, and I saved on purpose, the Reuters report that I got. You'll hear it on the show following this one, as it came in from so many people. It is the oddest earthquake sort of, you know, you don't want to use the word cover-up, but I'm telling you all right now, something very weird occurred with the report of this quake. Incidentally, I did hear it after finishing the show, Friday night, Saturday morning. I heard it on the Associated Press as well. So I've got it from at least three or four major news sources, and I've got it from all of you who, you know, heard it on so many sources. So I don't know what the deal is. I'm just a talk show host. I take reports. I've got news sources, and I've got all of you. So something occurred, and something's going on that they're not telling us about. I don't know what it is. When we come back, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. We all know that information. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, who is a dentist, a hypnotherapist, an author, a parapsychologist. He has written a book called A Search for Grace. It was turned into a TV movie. I know a lot of you may have seen it. A very well-documented case of murder and reincarnation. Dr. Goldberg has a very wide, wide expanse of experience in these areas. And so let us go to Dr. Goldberg now, who is located, let me find out where he is. Dr. Goldberg, where are you?
Hi, I'm in Woodland Hills, California, a suburb of Los Angeles, which has not yet fallen into the ocean.
And so we're all glad to hear. We're trying to track this, not that it is your field, but...
Actually, this does fit in, and I'll show you how we can do this. We could all do a remote viewing last Friday night and see what happened. I don't know what's going on with that either, because when you told me that earlier this evening, I hadn't heard of it, but then again, I'm not a news hound. But maybe you can do a new book called The Art of Exposé.
Yeah, no kidding.
Find out what's going on. But I would like to make a couple of comments about remote viewing, about your previous guest, Jim. He's quite correct, by the way. Remote viewing, which is really replaced the term of astral projection that was used in the 70s. And what it really means is a more scientific way of doing an out-of-body experience under laboratory-controlled circumstances.
Hmm.
And yes, I'm familiar with the research, the work of Russell Targ at SRI, what it used to be at SRI anyway, with Keith Harry and a few others. Yes, you do a form of time travel. Yes, you can go backwards and forwards in time, because what you're doing is an out-of-body experience. And I think your listeners are more familiar with the concept of near-death experiences, which is a form of an out-of-body experience. The difference with this, of course, is remote viewing. You don't have to be near clinical death to have it happen. But in near-death experience work, the work of Ray Moody, as well as more so Kenneth Ring from the University of Connecticut, shows that people do have precognitive experiences, which have been very documented as a result of these near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences.
All right, so in other words, from your point of view, this validates your work. It's a different approach, but the same,
sure,
the same general thing.
Right, but not only that, but I'm also commenting on him that he's correct about the research, that remote viewing isn't just going from point A to point B now, currently, but it also you can go back and forward in time, and it would not be inconceivable to review the Kennedy assassination or the Lincoln assassination.
Well, I'm still kicking myself. I meant to ask him who did shoot from the front, but slipped my mind.
The man who said duck.
My theory on the Kennedy thing is we're never going to know. I mean, it just doesn't matter. There are so many theories, piled on theories now, that one more, even the absolute truth, we'd never know it if it hit us in the noggin.
Well, you know, in 1978, the House Committee on Assassinations conceded it was a conspiracy. They just blocked it as it. But they did acknowledge, 17 years ago, that it was more than one shooter, if you will. So that really is not even a consideration. The question is that, you know, the evidence has been so tampered and lost grains and arrogance of the government's, claiming national security for their cover-ups, as they had with the UFO research and others, is that we're never going to know. I mean, we can't get to the material to what, year 2039 or something?
It is the first time I've heard the president's brain is missing.
No, I've heard that before, too. That's been around, too. But the point is that, see, we couldn't, no one could document that because you can't get into the particular location to find it out. It's not open until the year 2029 or 2039. So, therefore, all you heard were rumors in some, men's room in the Pentagon somewhere,
Well, it'd be a lot easier for me to assimilate that remark if it referred to a contemporary president.
Well, we could do remote viewing. It wouldn't make a difference, see. But see, remote viewings are also relevant, too, because what happens is the title of your show, Dreamland, you see, when you deal with dreams, every time we have a dream, when we go into the sleep cycle at night, the REM cycle, or the fifth phase of the five-stage sleep cycle, is a dream, what we call dream level, which really is a form of an out-of-body experience. So really, every night, we go through remote viewing when we go to sleep.
All right, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I have, because of the nature of the work I do Dreamland Sunday nights, then I do an all-night show during the week.
Coast to coast.
That's right. All right. When I get off the air at 4 a.m. Pacific time on Coast, the adrenaline's pumping, Mm-hmm. You know, I've been drinking coffee, sitting here and smoking cigarettes, doing politically incorrect stuff all night. And so I'm pretty hyped up. About 2 hours later, I generally try to go to sleep to get a couple, 2 or 3 hours sleep. So I'm up during the middle of the day and I can conduct a little bit of normal business.
Right.
I have discovered this particular period of sleep is very troubled, subject to constant dreaming and nightmares, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sleep later in the day is just fine. Now, I take it that I'm in and out of a very shallow area of sleep because, no doubt, of the chemicals in my body, all the coffee.
Well, also because of the length. See, more importantly than that, yes, that's true, but that would be equivalent to somebody on a more normal, quote, normal or regular life cycle who maybe go to bed at 11 o'clock and maybe drinking coffee at 9 p.m. or something and then goes to bed 2 hours later. But your problem here isn't so much the chemicals, although I don't recommend those as the ideal way to sleep, but your problem here is you're only getting, what, 2 or 3 hours of sleep?
Well, that's right, yes.
All right, so that's only, at the most, 2 complete sleep cycles. Actually, 1 to 1.5. That's the worst part. You get your most rest when you go into your 3rd or 4th sleep cycle, not the first or second one. So that's really the problem. Secondly, you have to superimpose. When you do Coast to Coast, which is basically a news show, you're not exactly dealing with the all-positive hour, you know?
No, that's true.
You're dealing with a lot of negative stuff.
That's
and,
right.
And so, therefore, this is like when people, before they go to bed at night, when they think about the reason why most dreams are actually mini nightmares, and in fact, we call them night terrors. It's all kinds of things that happen at night. The reason why people wake up more burnt out than when they went to bed, and more neurotic, by the way, you'll notice most people, as they get older, get more neurotic, not more positive, is because they program themselves before going to bed with all the worries and frustrations and anxieties that they're fed, unfortunately, mostly by the media, but they're also their personal lives, too. So this really is more important in your negative programming than it is the coffee or even the any other things that you might be, you know.
Well, I only mentioned the chemicals, the coffee and the nicotine, because I think they produce a very shallow sleep that's kind of in and out in that weird little area between wakefulness and...
Yeah.
And sleep.
But also, if you had, for example, if you had, say, 6 hours of sleep rather than 2 hours, you'd find a big difference because by the time you get, most of your REMs are actually piled up in the latter part of the sleep cycle, not the beginning. So really, you only get maybe 15 to 20 minutes of REMs, if that, out of that, which is not enough to emotionally cleanse you. And that's why you'll be more hyper, more uptight, and more just, depersonalized, so to speak.
I'm a serious type A, as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that also contributes to it. And
you bring up a good point. Yes, I definitely, no one's ever accused me of being other type A personality.
Right, that's right.
And I will acknowledge that, as I have publicly for 20-some-odd years. However, this is another factor here. When I go to the East Coast, if I'm doing like a TV interview in New York or Chicago, what I will do is I don't like to take a day off and travel. I will always take overnight flights, the red-eye flights, as they call them. And what I do is I don't sleep on the plane. I can sleep anywhere. But what I do to rest myself and not have to waste all the time, because the 5-hour flight is really not enough for a full sleep cycle, I will just go into an alpha level. I will use self-hypnosis. I will do like a super conscious mind tap, as I call it. I will do a self-hypnotic experience for maybe about 1.5 hours, which is equivalent to about 6 hours of sleep, because every minute in hypnosis or alpha is equivalent to 3 to 4 Earth minutes, and therefore I get all the rest I need without having to be unconscious for most of the time and without having to have the full 8 hours or 7 hours that I would normally get.
How do you do that?
Oh, self-hypnosis, it's very simple. In fact, we've mentioned before, but we'll talk a little bit tonight about how I have tapes. I have a self-hypnosis tape, which is a series of them. But any of them, in the beginning, give a certain post-hypnotic cue, which will allow you on a very, if you use a tape maybe for a week or two, to actually condition yourself within 30 seconds to get yourself into that alpha level. And then you can just simply just stay in that alpha level and just...
Okay, give me a rough overview of how that actually is achieved.
All right, very simply, for somebody who's a novice who has no formal experience and who have not worked with, most people who work with my tapes have never seen me in Los Angeles here. So what I would very simply do is have them take a deep breath and hold it for the count of, say, 5 or 6 or so. Then let it out slowly. Take a second deep breath. Maybe hold it for a count of 10. Now we're neutralizing their breathing.
Yes.
And then I would have them think of something pleasant. It doesn't matter, whatever they consider pleasant. A mountain scene, a cave, but whatever they like. And then just simply repeat, not a mantra so much, I don't like that, but something that, some number or code word or something that they find familiar that's relevant to them, that can help them block out the needless you know, maniacal thoughts that they may have had prior to that. And then when their breathing is neutralized, once they're conditioned with a post-hypnotic cue, then they're going to enter into a little deeper phase of that alpha level, the daydream state, the natural level that we go through for 4 hours during the waking day and 3 hours at night. And then they can simply allow that to recharge, as people would do when they meditate or do yoga or do biofeedback or do any of the other alpha level techniques.
So,
and then they can simply use that to just program in positive thoughts, or just use it to just tune out the world and to recharge themselves without allowing themselves to be exposed to the negativity.
I do. And so this would work, for example, after I've been exposed to a night of news.
If you work, if you could be exposed to having tea with Saddam Hussein, it would work. It doesn't matter where you are. What makes the difference? Remember now, I'm not saying for you to tank up on the coffee. The coffee really isn't that relevant unless you drink like 20 cups in an hour. Really isn't as important as is the frame of mind that you're in prior to you're trying to go to sleep, and also what your mind is thinking of naturally. If you can't tune out those negative items on the coast to coast or any of the news shows, you know, all the stuff you're fed in by the wire services and all the other material you get, then you're going to have problems in trying to neutralize all that. Because what you're going to be doing is like the person who is sort of like the wide receiver in football who runs before he catches the ball and drops it. You know, his mind is thinking.
Well, this is very important, Doctor, because we're in a day and age where we get stories about people cutting women open and taking their babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Chicago, near Chicago, that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, it's just by the day. You think it cannot get worse, and it does. So the technique you describe could be very valuable.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I use it myself because, you know, my office, most of my patients are what you would consider, I would consider to be average, say, middle-class people. But I have patients, women who have been abused sexually, sexual harassment on the job. I've had people who have been brutalized by the police department unnecessarily. I see patients of mine, they don't come to me to brag about how great their lives are. I see negativity and a lot of very degenerative behavior or victimizations, if you will, on a daily basis. And I tune it out by simply using these techniques. In fact, I train them to do that. Because people who do live in situations that they cannot change, it's a matter of how they respond to it. If they don't use these techniques, they're going to wind up either on a lot of medication or in some place with rubber walls for their...
All right, Dr. Goldberg, stand by just a moment. We'll be right back to you. I'm still playing a little catch-up here.
One, nine.
All right, again, I'm going to bore in on this. Dr. Goldberg, question for you about dreams. How is one to delineate, or can you, between a dream that involves something, some sort of precognition or some viewing of something that occurred in the present or past, and absolute random firing of synapses that result in some sort of weird story that scares you or makes you happy? In other words, a ridiculous made-up in the brain dream.
Okay, well, first, one of the keys that I use is naturally the history of you having these. If you have a dream, or let's just say a content dream that is repetitive, that you're getting over and over again, that is by all definition, even my harshest antagonists and critics will admit, that's the subconscious mind trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're looking at the accuracy of it. Obviously, if you have a history of these that are repeated and they come true, well, you've got a good ratio. If it's just a one-shot deal, then I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let me show you a scientist who actually did this to show you how we would talk about remote viewing. One of the biggest names in remote viewing is Russell Targ. He used to be at SRI. Russell Targ, in the early 80s, he wrote a book called The Mind Race with Keith Harry about his work up there. What he did was, when he left SRI, because he didn't like the government getting their grubby little hands on Department of Defense, mostly, and controlling the projects, mostly for negative uses, of course. They were trying to train CIA agents to go into remote view into Moscow and pick up the secrets from the behind closed doors there. Well, what he found out was that after he left there, he used this technique himself, and this was written up in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. He did the remote viewing to go into the future. This is the time concept again. Mm. And he found out silver futures results. He won $100,000 or made $100,000 on silver futures on a way very different than the way Hillary Clinton did with ticker futures.
Now you're talking.
But he did it. He did it. It was reported about 1986 or 87 in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. It was fully documented.
Really?
Yeah, really, absolutely. It's absolutely fact. And so therefore, this confirms a couple things. One is that he used the technique, obviously, to materially benefit, but to also show how accurate it was. Plus, he also shows here how remote viewing can give you a precognitive or future information.
Have you tried it?
Oh, of course.
Remote viewing?
Well, see, remote viewing, I call it progression, you see. It's really the same thing.
Well, Rose, by any other name. My question was, are you able to do it?
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I'll give you one of the best examples of it that I did in 1990. It was around Christmas time of 1990, and I did one of my age progressions going into the future of this current life on my current frequency, which we'll discuss a little later.
Well, look, we're at the top of the hour, so let's break off here and pick this up right after the news, which is coming up next. And during the break, we'll have a little private conversation about the price of gold. look, if you want an autographed copy of my book, the window to get it is very narrow. The number to get it is 1-800-864-7991. Get the number 1-800-864-7991 now.
Seen other blonde beings that were that had very strange kind of empty face and were shorter. I have seen and been close to human-like beings who were about 3.5 feet tall, whom I at first took to be children, but weren't obviously children when I got more clear about what they were. The one time I saw one of them up close, I thought it was a child sitting under a tree in the woods behind my old house in New York. And I walked up to him thinking he was smoking a cigarette. He had something between his fingers. When I leaned over, I saw obviously that I was dealing with something very, very strange. And he opened his mouth and growled and scared the hell out of me, and I ran away.
I didn't do it. Whitley, I ask all the researchers I talk to, what's most likely, that they're visitors from our future or visitors from elsewhere? And the most frequent answer I get is probably both.
Well, I'll tell you what I think they are in just to sum it up quickly. Some of them are from elsewhere. Some of them are born and raised here, but essentially of non-human origin. Some of them are from our future. Human and non-human. Some of them are from our past, human and non-human. Our own dead are involved in this and are actively participating. What's happening is huge. It's massive.
What would you say to the average person? If they are on the edge of or beginning to experience an encounter, would you say, A, embrace it and go with it, or B, run like hell?
Neither. I would say, take what you can from it, but be cautious and be wise, because if you embrace this totally, you're making yourself out to be a fool. If you run from it, you're wasting it. So go for it, take what you can from it, be careful.
Take each wary step one at a time.
Exactly. Take it a step at a time.
I've got you. All right. East of the Rockies, not a lot of time. You're on the air with Whitley Strieber. Hello.
Yeah, this is Dave in Illinois.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. And I was wondering if, you were talking about the past sophisticated civilizations.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in light of the things on the Mars and on the Moon, did you see any correlations between the statement at the end of Transformation and the ancient language thing?
Oh, at the end of Transformation, there's a statement in, I believe Betty Luca had uttered some words that she heard the visitors saying, and I discovered that these were Gaelic, in the old Gaelic Irish language, and they meant, children of the northern peoples, you wander in eternal darkness. And this is a very old, ancient language. I mean, many of the words in it are very prototypical of the. You could be talking about a language that's one of the very oldest of human languages. So yeah, there could be some kind of connection.
Incredible. Well, Whitley, it sounds like Whitley Strieber is really back in top form. And we're glad to have you back.
Well, I'm excited to be back, because there was a time when I thought I never would again, and I had given up entirely, but the visitors never gave up on me, and that's why I'm back.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm honored to have been able to interview you, and it went so well that I would beg that we do it again someday.
Oh, well, you don't need to beg. We'll do it.
Whitley, thank you so very much. And
oh, it's been a pleasure, Art.
Take care, my friend.
You too.
Well, wasn't that something? I'm going to give you a little bit of information prior to the ending of the show here. That was, of course, Whitley Strieber, and I well understand, because of the massive faxes I'm getting, that a lot of you are going to want copies of this very important program. So, if you do, the number to obtain a copy...
Information for what's going on here, I'm not sure what would.
Well, this also then gets into the area of UFOs, which is a common subject on Dreamland, and you have now interviewed probably as many or more remote viewers as anyone. What is one of the comments from remote viewers about UFOs?
Well, it's interesting because there is even controversy within the remote viewers about UFOs, but what's most fascinating is that none of them say that there's no such animal. They all agree that they have had the experience of seeing in their mind's eye a UFO, their inhabitants, sometimes where they're coming from, sometimes where they're going to. The controversy is over. Some of them think that this should be a prime area of study, and others think that this is just kind of a side issue and that we should use remote viewing for more for things that would help benefit the people here on Earth.
And yet, if we have outside here, and there's so many other eyewitnesses that come into this issue of another intelligence interacting with the planet, if the government of the United States and Army Intelligence and the Central Intelligence Agency have used remote viewing to access things both past and current, armaments, perhaps even looking for Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq War, what have remote viewers seen or ascertained about what's in these objects that we call UFOs?
Well, the first thing to understand is that we're not talking about little green men from Mars. We're talking about many races and many different species of beings that they see out there in the universe, most of which have little or nothing to do with the Earth. There's only a handful of races who come to the Earth, and apparently with different motives.
All right, I'd like to interrupt for a second. Jim, I want to ask you two things about remote viewing. It was never my understanding that remote viewing could look through time as well as across space. I always thought it was a sort of, I can see what's going on, for example, in Moscow through the eyes of somebody else or through my own ability, but I'd never heard before that remote viewing could occur across time. So
right, let me address that.
That's question one.
That's one of the things they discovered while working at SRI with this phenomenon. They were doing experiments where they would send out a team of people who would have computer-generated locations in sealed envelopes, and when they got out a certain distance, they would open the envelope and go to this location. Meanwhile, back at the laboratory, a remote viewer would, at a certain time, try to see if he could envision where these people were, and they had some tremendous success with this particular experiment. They had a fellow named Pat Price, who was a former police inspector, and he apparently had some very fine-tuned psychic ability. And what they suddenly discovered was, on one particular occasion, was that Pat Price gave them a very definite, clear description of the location 20 minutes before the people arrived there. So they began to realize, did some other experimentation, and concluded that this remote viewing ability is not necessarily limited by time. There are several other examples I could give to you, but that was one of the things they determined.
Sorry, we're short on time. Jim, one other question. Psychic warfare, that's what you called it.
The psychic warfare program, right.
Yeah, would it be called more properly psychic warfare, which implies an ability to do damage, or psychic sight, or maybe psychic spying? In other words, is there the ability, with the power of the mind, to affect others one way or the other?
This was one of the things they were very concerned about, and there may be other programs using other methodology. For instance, ELF, extremely low frequency, maybe even MK Ultra type mind control things that would impinge on that. But the remote viewers that I have talked to, the Sci-Spies, have said that over a period of time they came to realize that apparently you cannot physically do anything to anybody. You can simply look.
All right, that was important. Linda?
Yes, one other thing to show how what a hard science in a way this is. Ingo Swann, one of the pioneers and stars of the government's program, remote viewed the planet Jupiter approximately 6 years before we had the Voyager pass by. Out of that actual scientific experimentation, they did learn something that Ingo Swann had in his notebooks, and which I've seen with my own eyes, that there was a small ring of debris around the planet Jupiter, and that there were various things he commented about, the electromagnetic fields of Jupiter and other things in the clouds that they did discover 6 years later. And it is those, it is that kind of combination of being able to verify after remote viewing, which continues to put it into the area of a harder science rather than something that is speculative.
How are we ever going to get our hands on any hard data? I assume we will not, not from the government anyway.
I would doubt so.
Yeah, is there any private research going on? Can either one of you answer that might yield documentation?
Unfortunately, there's none that I know of, and this is something that definitely needs to be done. This is a very labor-intensive type operation. To make it work and to increase the accuracy of the remote viewing, you need to target maybe a dozen remote viewers against one target, and then you synthesize the information, find the threads of commonality, and your the accuracy of what they're seeing increases and pushes upwards close to the 100% accuracy. But to do this requires trained people using methodology with lots of time,
sure.
A concerted program, and that requires money. And the military and the CIA, of course, keep their experiments to themselves, and the government and most standard traditional scientists would say, oh, well, this doesn't work anyway, and so the money's not there to do it.
All right, well, we're almost out of time. Linda knows some people that have money that that sometimes invest...
Every once in a while.
Yeah, that invest in this kind of thing from time to time. Linda, do you know of anything privately going on?
I don't know anything privately in this area, but Jim says that as of the spring of this year, he knew that there were funded remote viewing exercises going on in the government.
All right, you two, we're out of time. Linda, give your information, contact information, please.
All right. The 800 toll-free number for information about my work is 800-707-9993. That's 800-707-9993. And you can write to me at Linda Howe, Post Office Box 538 in Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania, zip code 19006. I'm interested in anybody's information out there, whether it's in government remote viewing. People can talk to me off the record, or eyewitness encounters with some of the phenomena we discuss on Dreamland. And my fax number is area code 215-491-9842. That's 215-491-9842. And in the coming year, as Jim's books come out, Art, I think it'd be very interesting to look at remote viewing and some other areas he's going to deal with the phenomena related to UFOs.
All right. Well, Linda, get us privately some contact information for Jim, and maybe we'll have him on as a guest.
All right. I will. And happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone and to all of our new radio stations.
Indeed. And to you, Jim, thank you very much. And both of you, take care. That's Linda Howe. And it's certainly good to have her on the program, running very short on time for about, several months now anyway. We've been telling you about the new currency that is on the way. North American...
From the Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
We have a genuine mystery here. I just got a fax from Dean in Kauai, and I'll read it to you verbatim. Aloha, Art. Just wanted to let you know, I've heard nothing about the 8.5 reported quake on Friday night, Saturday morning. Now, I heard it via the ABC News feed, yet when I called their office in New York, they denied making the report. I did hear it. So did many others. What was it? Any clues? No, Dean, I've got and I saved on purpose the Reuters report that I got. You'll hear it on the show following this one as it came in from so many people. It is the oddest earthquake sort of, you know, you don't want to use the word cover-up, but I'm telling you all right now, something very weird occurred with the report of this quake. Incidentally, I did hear it after finishing the show, Friday night, Saturday morning. I heard it on the Associated Press as well. So I've got it from at least three or four major news sources. And I've got it from all of you who, you know, heard it on so many sources. So I don't know what the deal is. I'm just a talk show host. I take reports. I've got news sources. And I've got all of you. So something occurred, and something's going on that they're not telling us about. I don't know what it is. When we come back, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. We all know that information. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, who is a dentist, a hypnotherapist, an author, a parapsychologist. He has written a book called A Search for Grace. It was turned into a TV movie. I know a lot of you may have seen it. A very well-documented case of murder and reincarnation. Dr. Goldberg has a very wide expanse of experience in these areas. And so let us go to Dr. Goldberg now, who is located, let me find out where he is. Dr. Goldberg, where are you?
Hi, I'm in Woodland Hills, California, a suburb of Los Angeles, which has not yet fallen into the ocean.
And so we're all glad to hear. We're trying to track this, not that it is your field, but...
Well, actually, this does fit in, and I'll show you how we can do this. We could all do a remote viewing last Friday night and see what happened. I don't know what's going on with that either, because you told me that earlier this evening. I hadn't heard of it, but then again, I'm not a news hound. But maybe you could do a new book called The Art of Exposé.
Yeah, no kidding.
Find out what's going on. But I would like to make a couple of comments about remote viewing, about your previous guest, Jim. He's quite correct, by the way. Remote viewing, which is really replaced the term of astral projection that was used in the 70s. And what it really means is a more scientific way of doing an out-of-body experience under laboratory-controlled circumstances.
Hmm.
And yes, I'm familiar with the research, the work of Russell Targ at SRI, when it used to be at SRI anyway, with Keith Harry and a few others. Yes, you do a form of time travel. Yes, you can go backwards and forwards in time, because what you're doing is an out-of-body experience. And I think your listeners are more familiar with the concept of near-death experiences, which is a form of an out-of-body experience. The difference with this, of course, is remote viewing. You don't have to be near clinical death to have it happen. But in near-death experience work, the work of Ray Moody, as well as more so Kenneth Ring from the University of Connecticut, shows that people do have precognitive experiences, which have been very documented as a result of these near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences.
All right, so in other words, from your point of view, this validates your work. It's a different approach, but the same,
sure.
The same general thing.
Right, but not only that, but I'm also commenting on him that he's correct about the research, that remote viewing isn't just going from point A to point B now, currently, but it also you can go back and forward in time, and it would not be inconceivable to review the Kennedy assassination or the Lincoln assassination.
Well, I'm still kicking myself. I meant to ask him who did shoot from the front, but slipped my mind.
The man who said duck.
My theory on the Kennedy thing is we're never going to know. I mean, it just doesn't matter. There are so many theories piled on theories now that one more, even the absolute truth, we'd never know it if it hit us in the noggin.
Well, you know, in 1978, the House Committee on Assassinations conceded it was a conspiracy. They just blocked it as it. But they did acknowledge, 17 years ago that it was more than one shooter, if you will. So that really is not even a consideration. The question is that, you know, the evidence has been so tampered and lost grains and arrogance of the government's, claiming national security for their cover-ups, as they had with the UFO research and others, is that we're never going to know. I mean, we can't get to the material to what, the year 2039 or something?
It is the first time I've heard the president's brain is missing.
No, I've heard that before, too. That's been around, too. But the point is that, we couldn't, no one could document that because you can't get into the particular location to find it out. It's not open until the year 2029 or 2039. So, therefore, all you heard were rumors in some, men's room in the Pentagon somewhere,
Well, it'd be a lot easier for me to assimilate that remark if it referred to a contemporary president.
Well, we could do remote viewing. It wouldn't make a difference, see. But see, remote viewings are also relevant, too, because what happens is the title of your show, Dreamland, you see, when you deal with dreams, every time we have a dream, when we go into the sleep cycle at night, the REM cycle, or the fifth phase of the five-stage sleep cycle, is a dream, what we call dream level, which really is a form of an out-of-body experience. So really, every night, we go through remote viewing when we go to sleep.
All right. I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I have, because of the nature of the work I do Dreamland Sunday nights, then I do an all-night show during the week.
Coast to coast.
That's right. All right. When I get off the air at 4 a.m. Pacific time on coast, the adrenaline's pumping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been drinking coffee, sitting here and smoking cigarettes, doing politically incorrect stuff all night.
Right.
And so I'm pretty hyped up. About 2 hours later, I generally try to go to sleep to get a couple, 2 or 3 hours sleep, so I'm up during the middle of the day and I can conduct a little bit of normal business.
Right.
I have discovered this particular period of sleep is very troubled, subject to constant dreaming and nightmares, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sleep later in the day is just fine. Now, I take it that I'm in and out of a very shallow area of sleep because, no doubt, of the chemicals in my body, all the coffee.
Well, also because of the length. See, more importantly than that, yes, that's true, but that would be equivalent to somebody on a more normal, quote, normal or regular life cycle who would maybe go to bed at 11 o'clock and maybe drinking coffee at 9 p.m. or something and then goes to bed 2 hours later. But your problem here isn't so much the chemicals, although I don't recommend those as the ideal way for sleep, but your problem here is you're only getting, what, 2 or 3 hours of sleep?
Well, that's right, yes.
All right, so that's only at the most 2 complete sleep cycles, actually 1 and 1.5. That's the worst part. You get your most rest when you go into your 3rd or 4th sleep cycle, not the first or second one. So that's really the problem. Secondly, you have to superimpose. When you do Coast to Coast, which is basically a new show, you're not exactly dealing with the all positive hour, you know?
No, that's true.
You're dealing with a lot of negative stuff.
That's right.
And so therefore, this is like when people, before they go to bed at night, when they think about the reason why most dreams are actually mini nightmares, and in fact, we call them night terrors, there's all kinds of things that happen at night. The reason why people wake up more burnt out than when they went to bed, and more neurotic, by the way, you'll notice most people, as they get older, get more neurotic, not more positive, is because they program themselves before going to bed with all the worries and frustrations and anxieties that they're fed, unfortunately, mostly by the media, but they're also their personal lives, too. So this really is more important in your negative programming than it is the coffee or even the any other things that you might be, you know.
Well, I only mentioned the chemicals, the coffee and the nicotine, because I think they produce a very shallow sleep that's kind of in and out in that weird little area between wakefulness and...
Yeah.
And sleep.
But also, if you had, for example, if you had, say, 6 hours of sleep rather than 2 hours, you'd find a big difference. Because by the time you get, most of your REMs are actually piled up in the latter part of the sleep cycle, not the beginning. So really, you only get maybe 15 to 20 minutes of REMs, if that, out of that, which is not enough to emotionally cleanse you. And that's why you'll be more hyper, more uptight, and more just, depersonalized, so to speak.
I'm a serious type A, as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that also contributes to it. And
you bring up a good point. Yes, I definitely, no one's ever accused me of being other than a type A personality.
Right, that's right.
And I will acknowledge that, as I have publicly for 20-some-odd years. However, this is the other factor here. When I go to the East Coast, if I'm doing like a TV interview in New York or Chicago, what I will do is, I don't like to take a day off and travel. I will always take overnight flights, the red-eye flights, as they call them. And what I do is, I don't sleep on the plane. I can sleep anywhere. But what I do to rest myself and not have to waste over time, because the 5-hour flight is really not enough for a full sleep cycle, I will just go into an alpha level. I will use self-hypnosis. I will do like a super conscious mind tap, as I call it. I will do a self-hypnotic experience for maybe about an hour and a half, which is equivalent to about 6 hours of sleep, because every minute in hypnosis or alpha is equivalent to 3 to 4 Earth minutes, and therefore I get all the rest I need without having to be unconscious for most of the time and without having to have the full 8 hours or 7 hours that I would normally get.
How do you do that?
Oh, self-hypnosis, it's very simple. In fact, we've mentioned before, but we'll talk a little bit tonight about how I have tapes. I have a self-hypnosis tape, which is a series of them, but any of them in the beginning give a certain post, if not a cue, which will allow you on a very, if you use a tape maybe for a week or two, to actually condition yourself within 30 seconds to get yourself into that alpha level, and then you can just simply just stay in that alpha level and just...
Okay, give me a rough overview of how that actually is achieved.
All right, very simply, for somebody who's a novice who has no formal experience and who have not worked with, you know, most people who work with my tapes have never seen me in Los Angeles here. So what I would very simply do is have them take a deep breath and hold it for the count of, say, five or six or so. Then let it out slowly. Take a second deep breath. Maybe hold it for a count of 10. Now we're neutralizing their breathing.
Yes.
And then I would have them think of something pleasant. It doesn't matter, whatever they consider pleasant. A mountain scene, a cave, whatever they like. And then just simply repeat, not a mantra so much, I don't like that, but something that, some number or code word or something that they find familiar that's relevant to them, that can help them block out the needless, you know, maniacal thoughts that they may have had prior to that. And then when their breathing is neutralized, once they're conditioned with a post-hypnotic cue, then they're going to enter into a little deeper phase of that alpha level, the daydream state, the natural level that we go through for 4 hours during the waking day and 3 hours at night. And then they can simply allow that to recharge, as people would do when they meditate or do yoga or do biofeedback or do any of the other alpha level techniques. And
so,
then they can simply use that to just program in positive thoughts, or just use it to just tune out the world and to recharge themselves without allowing themselves to be exposed to the negativity.
I do. And so this would work, for example, after I've been exposed to a night of news.
It could work. You could be exposed to, having tea with Saddam Hussein. It would work. It doesn't matter where you are. What makes a difference? Remember now, I'm not saying for you to tank up on the coffee. The coffee really isn't that relevant, unless you drink like 20 cups in an hour. Really isn't as important as is the frame of mind that you're in prior to your trying to go to sleep, and also what your mind is thinking of naturally. If you can't tune out those negative items on the coast to coast or any of the news shows, you know, all the stuff you're fed in by the wire services and all the other material you get, then you're going to have problems in trying to neutralize all that. Because what you're going to be doing is like the person who is sort of like the wide receiver in football who runs before he catches the ball and drops it. You know, his mind is thinking.
Well, this is very important, Doctor, because we're in a day and age where we get stories about people cutting women open and taking their babies, you know, in Chicago, near Chicago, that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, it's just by the day. You think it cannot get worse, and it does. So the technique you describe could be very valuable.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I use it myself because, you know, in my office, most of my patients are what you would consider, I would consider to be average, say, middle-class people. But I have patients, women who have been abused sexually, sexual harassment on the job. I've had people who have been brutalized by the police department unnecessarily. I see patients of mine, they don't come to me to brag about how great their lives are. I see negativity and a lot of very degenerative behavior or victimizations, if you will, on a daily basis. And I tune it out by still using these techniques. In fact, I train them to do that. Because people who do live in situations that they cannot change, it's a matter of how they respond to it. If they don't use these techniques, they're going to wind up either on a lot of medication or in some place with rubber walls for their, you know, for the next.
All right, Dr. Goldberg, stand by just a moment. We'll be right back to you. I'm still playing a little catch up here. GMX is a magnetic water conditioner that does work. Sometimes I don't know what else to say except to tell you my experience. I know what I'm talking about. Trust me. It works. They came and installed it in my home. I was doubting Thomas. I wouldn't have paid a cent. And I didn't. I'll be honest with you, I didn't. You know, obviously they wanted me to advertise it, but I kind of went harumph. In barump when they came and put it in. But lo and behold, the scaling buildup on your faucet, actually, you know, unscrew the aerator and look in there on your shower head, whatever, that will break up and go away. It's done by magnetic arrays. You'll have the most wonderfully conditioned water when it's all over. And you won't have to haul salt. You won't have to buy a big, expensive machine that breaks down all the time. Mine always did. And it works. Now, you're probably going to harumph in whatever city you're in. And so I'll tell you just this. You've got a 90-day money-back, absolute, unqualified, unconditional guarantee. If it doesn't work, in 90 days, you get your money back. It is $600. That is a one-time expense. It installs in 10 minutes. You can take it with you. And so there you are. That's GMX. If you believe me, try it. Even if you don't, try it. You've got 90 days to get your money back. And this is an absolute deadline. People at GMX are going to be taking a break in December, so you must know that the end of November is the last time that with an order of GMX, you get a copy of my book, The Art of Talk, free of charge. The number to call is 1-800-40-60-GMX. That's 1-800-40-60-GMX. Many of you health-conscious folks are familiar with antioxidants and their amazing health benefits. Now, vitamin C is probably the most famous of these. UCLA scientists found that antioxidant vitamin C can help avoid cancers, strokes, heart attacks, increase life expectancy an average of 5 years. Well, now, there are new antioxidants on the market, and listen, scientists say they are 20 times more powerful than vitamin C and 50 times the power of vitamin E, another antioxidant. They're called pycnogenols, the super antioxidants. You want to remember that if you're a health-conscious individual. Why? Well, according to Richard Passwater, Ph.D. and authority in the field, you're being bombarded by something called free radicals, toxins, environmental and otherwise, that break down cells, damage tissue, cause you to age faster, develop stiff joints, and wrinkle sooner than you ought to. How can you fight these free radicals that bombard you every day? Antioxidants and pycnogenols are the most effective antioxidant you can buy today. To order this amazing new food supplement I'm taking, call the folks at Health Naturally at 1-800-856-1119. These pycnogenols are pharmaceutical grade, made from 95% pure grapeseed extract. It's the very purest on the market, giving you the most benefits. Call 1-800-856-1119. That's 1-800-856-1119. All right, again, I'm going to bore in on this. Dr. Goldberg, question for you.
Sure.
About dreams. How is one to delineate, or can you, between a dream that involves something, some sort of precognition, or some viewing of something that occurred in the present or past, and absolute random firing of synapses that result in some sort of weird story that scares you or makes you happy? In other words, a ridiculous made-up in-the-brain dream.
Okay, well, first, one of the keys that I use is naturally the history of you having these. If you have a dream, or let's just say a content dream that is repetitive, that you're getting over and over again, that is by all definition, even my harshest antagonists and critics will admit, that's the subconscious mind trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're looking at the accuracy of it. Obviously, if you have a history of these that are repeated and they come true, well, you've got a good ratio. If it's just a one-shot deal, then I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let me show you a scientist who actually did this to show you how we talk about remote viewing. One of the biggest names in remote viewing is Russell Targ. He used to be at SRI. Russell Targ, in the early 80s, he wrote a book called The Mind Race with Keith Harry about his work up there. What he did was when he left SRI, because he didn't like the government getting their grubby little hands on Department of Defense, mostly, and controlling the projects, mostly for negative uses, of course. They were trying to train CIA agents to go into remote view into Moscow and pick up the secrets from the behind closed doors there. Well, what he found out was that after he left there, he used this technique himself, and this was written up in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. He did the remote viewing to go into the future. This is a time concept again. Mm. And he found out silver futures results. He won $100,000 or made $100,000 on silver futures on a way very different than the way Hillary Clinton did with with ticker futures.
Now you're talking.
But he did. He did it. It was reported about 1986 or 87 in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. It was fully documented.
Really?
Yeah, really, absolutely. It's absolutely a fact. And so therefore, this confirms a couple things. One is that he used the technique, obviously, to materially benefit, but to also show how accurate it was. Plus, he also shows here how remote viewing can give you a precognitive or future information.
Have you tried it?
Oh, of course.
Remote viewing?
Well, see, remote viewing, I call it progression, you see. It's really the same thing.
Oh, well, rose by any other name. My question was, are you able to do it?
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I'll give you one of the best examples of it that I did. In 1990, it was around Christmas time of 1990, and I did one of my age progressions going into the future of this current life on my current frequency, which we'll discuss a little later.
Well, look, we're at the top of the hour, so let's break off here and pick this up right after the news, which is coming up next. And during the break, we'll have a little private conversation about the price of gold. look, if you want an autographed copy of my book, the window to get it is very narrow. The number to get it is 1-800-864-7991. Get the number 1-800-864-7991 now.
Or something. Give me a Richter scale past which there will not be a quake.
Okay, I'm going by what my patients tell me. Now, I don't ask my patients to rig their reading. This is what they're saying, and this is what I'm saying here. I'm saying that there will be no earthquakes of a greater magnitude than 7.0 in California in a populated area that will cause property damage and death.
Okay.
That you're hearing by everybody else today.
Right. Until the year 2050.
Well, that's what my patients are telling me. The big earthquakes that occur, and then this is only on one parallel universe of which there are different options, so we can change that too, is the year 2050. Earthquakes that hit Los Angeles and San Francisco, and by the way, New York also,
uh-huh,
in the year 2050. This is what I reported in Past Lives, Future Lives. This is what patients have told me. I don't psychically read those. They are what people have told me. I don't see those. That's what patients have reported to me.
Fair enough. And we will so record that kind of group. I guess that's a group prediction, isn't it?
Well, let's call it. It's a statement that is made by several different sources, actually hundreds of them, over the last 18 years, of people who do not know each other or have had or do have any contact with each other now.
Hmm.
So this will be called corroboration.
Well, that is what we call it. That's right. All right, let's take a couple calls, shall we?
Sure.
All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, sir?
This is Mike in Lexington.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was wondering, with these future progressions and so forth, is this an effective way to maybe garner some technology from the future and bring it back?
Well, actually, it is, because, you know, most scientific discoveries, if you look at them, have really come from dream levels, and people have used this. Edison used it, Da Vinci used it, you name it. Einstein did it, too, with his mentality, with the theory of relativity. So, yes, you can do that, and with all the online cyber maniacs and everything else going on, people can look upon the 21st century, 22nd century, et cetera, and beyond, or even going back to going ahead to 20 or 30 years, and actually pick out technology in their respective field if they want, and use it. I have no problem with that. People have done it.
All right. Well, I have done it. Now, let me tell you what I've done, Doctor. It's very interesting. I'm an electronic nut. I've enjoyed electronics all my life. Became a ham at 12 years old. And I have been fixing electronic gadgets all my life. And I'm a madman when it comes to it. In other words, I either fix it or break it beyond any possibility of repair.
Okay.
And I'm that kind of madman. I keep going at it until I get it.
That's right.
And, many times, I've worked on something, and worked on it, spent the whole day on it. I'm pounding on walls, hitting my head on the wall, and going nuts, and I finally give up, and I say, damn it, that's it, and go to bed. And the next morning, this has happened many times. I wake up, and I know what it is. I know exactly what was wrong, and I go straight to it and fix it.
Now, you are doing exactly what Thomas Edison did. There's an old story about Thomas Edison that's been corroborated many times. What he did was he knew right before falling asleep he'd have his greatest insights, but of course he'd fall asleep and not remember them. So what he would do, he would lie on his couch in his house in New York somewhere, and he would have these metal balls like Beauty on the Bounty here in his hands, and he would have a metal plate placed right just under where his hands were. When he was just about to fall asleep, he'd drop the metal balls into the pan, wake himself up, take that brilliant idea, and invent the light bulb. That's a true story. He did that with the motion picture, camera, and projector. He did it with the light bulb. He did it with dozens and dozens of other inventions. So right before going to sleep into your dreamland level, so to speak, you have your most profound intuitiveness, your most profound scientific predictors, et cetera. This is really progress. What you're doing
is... Well, if he had known Dr. Goldberg then, could you have put him in an alpha state during wakefulness, and maybe today we'd have a better light bulb?
And we'd have the exact liberation of Hoopio JFK.
Okay, Dr. Goldberg, stay right where you are.
I'm one. The faxes are just pouring in on this earthquake business. Yes, I know, folks. We all heard it from various sources, and it is odd. I'll give you a sample. Art, regarding the mystery earthquake the other night, I, too, was very curious. I, too, heard the report of a magnitude 8.5. So, got into the Internet, to the usual Art Bell listener websites, and gave me, and here is the following from USGS, And it is not recorded here, and he goes on, either there is a strange cover-up going on, can't figure out why, or possibly Reuters and everyone relying on them, like ABC, made a typo of the magnitude, and or are trying to ignore it and hoping nobody notices. So yet, we don't know whether it was misreported or reported accurately and is simply being shut up right now. We have no idea. And this is not normally the case with earthquakes, so who knows? Back to Dr. Goldberg. Are you there, Doctor?
I'm here.
All right.
I'm not in the Sakhalin Islands. I have made it. I'm here.
All right. They're lined up like crazy to talk to you, so let us do it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Yes, my name is David, and I'm calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask Mr. Goldberg a question.
Sure, David, go ahead.
Okay, do you foresee any earthquakes in, like, the Tennessee area?
You understand, I don't see earthquakes. My patients report me the materials. I don't have, from my materials and from my progression with patients, Tennessee has never come up with earthquakes at all.
Okay.
The East Coast actually was, the East Coast, the only things that I have heard have been, interestingly, New York. And that's not going to be for 55 years.
Boy.
Uh-huh.
So you're okay.
Okay.
You may also get a football team, too. You're okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in Nashville, I think it is.
Yeah.
It? West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Hello, this is Fritz from Phoenix.
Hi, Fritz.
I'm a firm believer in regression. There's a lot of evidence. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But the phenomena of hypnotic regression was breaking through so strongly the last 10 years. Dr. Goldberg, come up with a headliner for the next 6 months.
Oh, that's good.
Come up with a headliner.
Let me give you something that I reported in past life. There's a newscaster who is now at actually ABC New York, who was in WBAL in Baltimore years ago in the 80s, and he read out news items that would go on. He did a noon talk show, which was the first half of it was a news show,
mm-hmm.
and he read off news items a week before they occurred, and he read off 9 of them, and these were items that were not major national items. These were like a small plane crash, a fire in the city, a car accident at a certain part of the Beltway, as they call it, in the Baltimore area, and 6 of those 9 came true. He even got the name of the person who was killed in the fire.
Why don't you send something into the Dreamland show and we keep track?
Let me show you the problem here. You know, I'm asked this a lot. You can imagine every time I do this, I get people calling me with, I'm going to Santa Anita, you know? Well, can I have a gold stock or something? Here's the problem. Number one is that when people report that, yes, I don't doubt the accuracy, but the problem here, and this is where we have to spend a few moments on this, there are some things called parallel universes. If you get, for example, the proverbial lottery number, and you're on frequency number 1, and there are 5 major frequencies, but there's an infinite number mathematically, but to keep it simple, let's just consider them as 5, and you get the lottery number on frequency number 2, but you're on frequency number 1, it ain't going to happen. Doesn't mean it's not right. It means that it's not right in the parallel universe in which you're in. The universal laws, the karmic laws, state that you can't cheat the system. If you're supposed to know something, you'll know it. If you're going to use it for strictly capitalistic or materialistic gain, and you're not supposed to, you're looking for the easy way out, it's not going to happen because then you wouldn't grow karmically. Then why be on the earth plane?
All right, then let's keep it out of the capitalistic, materialistic realm for a second and stay with Fritz's question.
Okay.
In other words, give us a good headline. In the next 6 months, a year, somewhere in there.
I don't do that because I'm sort of like when you asked earlier, Linda, how about the no private research with out about remote viewing, as they
right.
call it. I don't do research. I do clinical things. When a patient of mine tells me, doctor, and I'm really concerned about whether she's going to meet Mr. Wright or whether she's going to get fired from her job or whether her kid's going to get tuberculosis,
right.
that's what I do in progressions. I don't say, oh, by the way, can we forget about your personal problems while you come home?
No, I understand.
Let's read off what's going to happen to the LA
okay.
Times next week.
All
see,
right.
I don't do that.
That makes sense.
Again,
yeah, you're helping people at a personal.
I'm a clinician, not a researcher.
I understand. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
How you doing, Art? This is Diane from Oceanside, California.
Hello,
Hi.
Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Fine.
Yes. I am a prophetess, and I am very prophetic. I'm in LA Times, San Diego Union, mm-hmm. USA Today, and the Blade Citizen.
Okay.
I saw Dr. Goldberg in March of this year, and he is an excellent doctor. He's excellent. He told when he did the past life regression on me, it showed that I was a high priestess back in the Egyptian days.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, yes.
Yes, and that also I was a singer, a lawyer, and also a judge.
You may have known Art. He was the electronic expert of Atlanta. He was the one who caused the blow up the last time it went down, but that's beside the point.
Absolutely. I just went up to Washington, D.C. here recently and was at United Nations conference. I'm also known as a visionary, and when we had some speakers up there, FDR, they spoke about FDR, and of course, Eleanor Roosevelt, and FDR was clairvoyant, and I saw several things as speakers were speaking there.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a question, Dan?
I beg your pardon?
Did you have a question now?
No, I just wanted to tell Art that I had seen you and that there are definitely parallel universes. I do use your tapes, doctor. And the ones for relaxation and also for, you know, for the, you know, going into a trance, I do that.
The superconscious mind is the main one, right?
I beg your pardon?
The superconscious mind tape.
Yes.
Remember that one, yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
We
appreciate your call. And east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hello.
Hi, Art. Was that Dianne Feinstein?
No.
Oh, who is that?
It's a different. I can't give you the last name.
Is that Diana?
Well, no. We protect the last names of. What can we do for you?
I said she was a prophet. Okay. First, I want to make a comment on the quake. I looked it up in my Rand McNally, and Sakhalin Island is located at the northern tip of Japan.
Yes, we know where it is.
Yeah, well, that's like Kobe. That sounds like a good place to have, you know, where the earthquake would be. It doesn't sound unusual. But I was just thinking maybe the Russians have a
okay, do you have a question?
Or maybe just as unimportant.
Do you have a question?
Okay, my question. Dr. Goldberg, everyone talks about the devastating New Madrid quake. Could you give us your prediction on that one?
No, all right, thank you. You don't predict, do you?
No.
Not that kind of prediction.
I could predict this call has ended,
so her, yeah, that's right. Her question went to absolute naught, and she's obviously not been listening, or she would know that you were not doing those kinds of predictions. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bonnie from Clear Lake.
Hello, Bonnie.
I happen to think that Brad Steiger and Gordon Michael Scallion are blessed, and I think this Mr. Goldberg is a charlatan.
That's Dr. Goldberg.
Have him on again.
Dr. Goldberg.
Well, Bonnie, I appreciate your response, but and again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I think in 5 years you'll find out who's right. Simple as that.
Yeah, but you're taking the voice of some patient.
I'm taking the corroboration of thousands of patients since 1977.
And was born again.
We'll find out. Just be patient. I'm a very patient man. I waited, I started doing this in 1977. That was 23 years before the year 2000, so I can wait another 5 years.
Well, I have bad feelings about you. I don't like you.
Well, that's okay.
All right, Bonnie, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah. Hold on, Dr. Goldberg. That's what makes the world go round.
I don't like you.
That's not exactly a fact-based challenge.
Coming to my mind, there's a principle in science that has fairly recently been brought to light, and you have to forgive me, I can't think of the term that is used for it. You'll probably recognize what I'm talking about. It's when the examiner or the scientist affects the results just somehow by his presence or...
Yeah, that's quantum physics. It's called the...
Quantum physics, of course.
Right, quantum physics or quantum mechanics is what we say is that there is no... We can't test things the way we really like to because your consciousness actually affects the results. Even if you don't observe something, it doesn't exist is what it says.
There you go. So when you're sitting there with your patient and you're getting information from them, you are also involved in that information, right?
Oh. Very profound, very accurate, very profound statement. That's absolutely true.
And there's no way to really know how to separate and purify which is which.
Well, of course not. This is why, you know, like I appreciate when Art, who is a good friend and really is one of the best interviews I've ever had, Art, I'll tell you right now, I love you dearly. But at the same time, when you ask those questions, I have to simplify this for the average audience out there. I'm not dealing with an engineering or a quantum physics convention where I would speak very differently. But here, I have to try to get to the mass public who doesn't have the same background that I have, or maybe even you have if you've done the reading here. And so I can't speak always in the form of the quantum foam and the black holes and the white holes and all these little things. You know, you can't do that.
All right, but let me follow up. Make it simple for the audience, as you just suggested. There was a study, Dr. Goldberg, about clinicians who interviewed young children about sexual abuse.
Right.
And it was absolutely remarkable regarding... the injection of the interviewer's questions and thoughts and ideas in formulating the responses they got. That is what we're talking about.
Well,
here,
you're
right?
Talking about like a false memory syndrome.
That's exactly right, and it relates to what we're talking about.
But
right?
that's very different because false memory, and that's like leading the witness in court. What I'm saying is that, if, for example, if you and I, since you're an electronic expert or aficionado, and that's, I'm sure your listeners will relate to this, let's say you were doing a friction physics experiment, okay? And you were just watching it now. Somebody else was doing the experiment, and you were sitting in a chair 15 feet away from it, where you can have no effect at all on the dials, whatever's going on, the variables.
Yes.
You're just watching it. If you turn your head away and don't watch the experiment, somebody else does, your reality is different. You're not looking at that experiment means you haven't observed it. In reality, that experiment didn't happen. That's what quantum physics says. Actually, it proved it mathematically. You have to observe it for it to be a reservation. But in reality, in your mind, you have not created that reality, and you have created, there is a void.
Yeah, but there's a delay. We must lineate between the physical sciences and the kind of science you are talking about.
This is a physical science. Quantum physics is a proven hard science.
Yes,
as electronics, it just as physics, and just as medicine. And
yes,
just
but
as
I was relating the possibility of false memory syndrome into it, or the injection. We're going to have to hold this until we get back. It's a very interesting path to follow, as a matter of fact. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest, and I presume most of you, except the ladies called up since she didn't like him, will be back in a moment with Dreamland. I'm Art Bell. Stay right there.
Radio that makes a difference. Talk radio. WTAC. Toll free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
The one is the very same. Back to Dr. Goldberg in just a moment. Again, there's a very, very, very narrow window, a special opportunity for you to get an autographed copy of my book. They made me do 1,000 of them. And between now and December 4th, you can get one. Make a good Christmas present for you, or somebody else, I suppose. If you would like an autographed copy of my book, The Art of Talk, behind the scenes for 11 years of this talk program and a whole lot more, you've got to call right now. Supplies will be exhausted shortly. I'm sure I'll be coming on before December 4th and telling you that it's all over. And so that's the caveat. If they're sold out, they're sold out. But they will be able to tell you when you call whether or not you can get one. The number is 1-800-864-7991. Well, we can ask Dr. Goldberg about this. There are several ways this currency change definitely can affect your savings, your investments, and all the rest of it. So pick up the phone and get the free information they offer. The number is, use my name, the number is 1-800-877-9799. No obligation, no cost, just free information. 1-800-877-9799. Back now to Dr. Goldberg. Doctor.
Yes.
We kind of left off at the top of the hour in the middle of this. In other words, I was asking, and so in a way was the caller, whether or not, as a clinician, you in effect at times consciously or even unconsciously, and I'm sure you've mulled this over, lead a patient.
Well, I can speak for myself, and in fact, when I taped, I do a lot of, as you know, television interviews and radio interviews where I do live regressions on the air and
sure.
Live on tape on television. And what I do is, and I love doing that because it shows that it's like being in court in a way. I do not ask leading questions. In fact, I will say, where are you? What do you perceive? I don't say, you're in 1820 in an English carriage right now, aren't you? See, that's leading. What I simply say, where are you? What's going on? What do you see? What do you perceive? What's happening? And I just ask them the questions, and they give me the answer. So in reality now, am I thinking, am I tuning into them psychically? I'll tell you right now, no, because I never get any visions or any intonations what a patient is going to tell me. Patients very often will read my mind. In fact, that telepathy is one of the characteristics of a medium-level hypnotic trance.
Really?
But I can tell you right now, I do not see auras. I don't have a silver veil over my eyes. I don't have any experience other than strictly clinical, just asking the questions and, of course, doing the what we call the superconscious mind tap, where I'm training them to access their own higher self. Because the purpose of what I'm doing here is really empowerment. That's why I dislike a lot of the other approaches that are very codependently oriented. Here, what I'm doing is training the patient to be totally independent of me in the shortest amount of time and to go on with their lives and actually to create and maximize their own destiny in the shortest period of time.
You say you can do that. You've done that on television, right?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact,
you can do it on radio also?
Well, yeah, but see, I have to be in the same room. I can't do it on the telephone. I have to be in the same studio with someone.
I couldn't let myself do that.
Well, you see, I tell you, you actually, you could.
No, I couldn't.
If I work with you, if I was in the same room with you, if I was in Pahrump, or if I was in wherever you're doing the studio now, if we were in the same room together, this could do, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you something that I will do. I will. This is like, think of it as a Christmas present. I will send out in tomorrow's mail a cassette album that I have with all my tapes, with regression, progression, out-of-body experience, soul plane ascension, age regression, etc. I will send you a complete series of the tapes, which you can use yourself in the privacy of your own home. You can use it on one of your fancy radios that you advertise.
Now that I might be able to do.
Seriously, you can do it by yourself, and then you can have your own experience without anybody watching you. There's no performance pressure. You can do it, and whatever you consider to be
right.
Quiet. And you can do it. In fact, the number of the universe is 1-800-KARMA-4U.
Okay, well, that's your plug. What do people get, your tapes and stuff at that number?
What they'll do is if they call 1-800-KARMA-4U or 1-800-527-6248, I'll be happy to send them an information which will describe all the tapes. Plus, your listeners, I will send a free self-hypnosis exercise, a little pamphlet, which will train them to guide them into their own hypnotic experience, and they can have their own level of relaxation that we talked about earlier. And, of course, I'll send them information about the tapes, the Past Lives, Future Lives, the original book, and the Search for Grace, the new book about
it. All right. I've got some karma for you.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
This is from Rob. Art, I'm a longtime fan. You've had several of my friends as guests on your show. I spoke with Dr. Goldberg on the phone about 1 or 1.5 years ago, made an offhand remark that his work sounded very much like that done by my friend Chet Snow. Dr. Goldberg flipped out, big time, said Chet was, I'm not even going to repeat it here, and did not have a doctor's degree, blah, blah, then hung up on me. You remember that?
Well, I don't recall the person himself, and I do not hang up on people, but I do recall I've had a number of calls over the years, again, probably, you know, maybe 100 of them in reference to Chet Snow, and when people ask me, they seem to be offended or taken aback if they're a fan of his, when I tell them something that I was told this when, I didn't know this until last year. Last year at this time, on December 2nd of last year, I was on The Other Side. NBC called me to do the show The Other Side, which
right.
is now defunct.
Right.
And the producer of the show, very nice gentleman, really, really knew this field and knew my career very well. He read Past Lives, Future Lives in detail because he was quoting line and verse. And he told me that he was associated with the Association of Past Life Research and Therapy, which Chet Snow was an officer in. I think he was former president. And he said, did you know that we were going to have Chet on the show, but we had you instead? And I said, well, that's fine. You know, it didn't matter because Chet was in Paris at the time. And he said that, well, the reason why we didn't want to have him on is because of his credentials. And I said, what do you mean?
First-time callers call area 702-727-1222.
And I checked it out because, you know, the producer's a nice man, but I want to make sure.
All right, so the bottom line is you're feuding with him.
Well, it's not that I'm feuding with him. It's just two things. The two problems I have with him. Number one is I do not like people giving false credentials. I think it's a real problem. If you have a real degree, fine. If you don't say you do. Number two, in his book, I have a lot of problem with the book, definitely, and the work in the sense that he never mentions the parallel universes in the book, and his book is very gloom and doom. It would make a lot of very cynical people very happy. But he also, if you read his book very carefully, you'll find out that Chet Snow is the person who brings the Christ entity into his as an extraterrestrial in the 21st century, in his next life. And I got a real problem with that.
All right.
I really do. I mean,
this is something I've got a real problem with, whether it's in your field.
Right.
Or if it's in ufology, or it's in parapsychology, or wherever it is, there's a lot of feuding going on out there, and a lot of jealousies, and a lot of people who are upset with each other, and regard each other in ufology. For example, the ultimate smash is when you're finally unhappy with somebody, well, he's a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Inevitably, people will say that.
Right.
So why is there so much feuding going on out there over this kind of thing?
Well, it's a question of I don't remember. This is why the disadvantage I have is I don't remember the call because I get hundreds of calls.
Well, it doesn't matter. It seems generally
but
true based on what
I have,
you said.
If you're talking about just his work itself, the problem I have with his work is that his work is based upon a. I wouldn't say it's a false hypothesis. The way he presents it, if you read his book, the way he presents it is one, no choices other than his one option. He puts himself in the research, which is the worst thing a scientist should ever do. In fact, if you do that, you're not a scientist. It would be like me trying to be involved with a patient personally.
Right, you're back on Dr. Snow. I asked you a more general question
about feuding, you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you're always going to get, a difference of opinion. For example, I disagree with the statements that are made by, for example, Scallion and some the other psychics, they're entitled to, I'm a First Amendment activist. They can say what they want to. What I'm just saying is, and I'm taking the risks
because I'm risking my reputation by saying that you're going to find in the parallel universe that you and I are on that their prediction in reference to the Armageddon mentality, whatever combination you want, is simply not going to happen. What I'm simply saying is that wait 5 years and you'll see who's right. But the reason you'll have differences of opinion is because if you have differences of opinion in any field, the problem is not the difference of opinion. Actually, that makes our intelligence and our society. What the problem is that if a person's opinion or the way he presents him or her work is based upon either a false hypothesis or is based on an unscientific approach, then I'm going to definitely have problems with it because I'm a scientist. And there's a big difference between a psychic doesn't have to follow scientific disciplines, whereas a scientist does. And there's a big difference there. But if a colleague of mine who is supposedly a scientist does things that are very unscientific,
then
I have a problem with it.
All right, let's hold it there for a moment. And let me move on to another question. This is by fax from Red in St. Rose in Los Angeles, I guess. The question is, how do you feel about UFOs? What are they? Are they real? If so, where do they come from?
Okay, well, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of work done with UFOs, and do I feel they're real? Absolutely. In fact, in past lives, future lives, I report UFO experiences in both past and future lives. As far as the explanations of them, one of the things that I find very interesting, and then right now I can't prove it, but I'm a great follower, if you will, or believer, if you will, of the work of Fred Allen Wolf, who's a quantum physicist. And what he says, and he puts this in his book, Parallel Universes, which is an excellent book, it's a Prentice Hall book, 1988, is that the reason why we have so many problems documenting the UFOs is, again, of course, the presence of the observer phenomenon, but also he feels that, and I agree with him, it's a possibility, that if the UFOs are in a parallel universe, you see, and then they come into our, they cross over the space-time continuum, if you will, they enter into our parallel universe, then if we have one of our little jets up there chasing them at 900 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden they disappear on the spot of a dime, which is physically impossible by our laws, maybe they're going into a time warp into a parallel universe, which is why we can't follow them. And I very much agree with that. But getting back onto the aspect of UFOs, are the UFOs? Well, I have tons of cases. I've done about 75 major abduction cases. If you just deal with abductions, if you deal with UFO sightings or just cases from past or future lives, I have thousands of them in my files. And these are from very credible patients. So I am, if anything, you could chalk me up on the plus column for UFOs.
All right, very interesting. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Where are you calling from?
Calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. Oh,
yeah.
Out there in the middle of the country. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Goldberg.
Hi, I hope you weren't the past life of Wyatt Earp.
No, I don't believe so.
But he lived in Wichita. Go ahead.
Yeah, he originally did, yeah. Very interesting hypothesis on this parallel universe. I don't quite understand, though, how we can speak with someone or communicate with someone in a parallel universe if this is a linear type progression of the subatomic particles and the way they're branching off.
Well, it's a good question because remember now, let me explain something. Parallel universes were discovered in Princeton University in 1957 by a man named Hugh Everett III who was working on his doctorate in quantum mechanics, which is what people call quantum physics.
Right.
Now, what it says is that, you know the term matter-antimatter?
Yeah.
Okay, that term really means that if you have a chair in parallel universe number one, and of course it would have an equivalent chair in parallel universe number two, if those two ever touched each other, you'd have kaboom. You'd have an explosion.
Right.
So you obviously can't touch physically each other because you'd explode it. You'd cause a demolition of it. But you can get images, or you can have, like, think of it like a television signal, like this monitor, like what Art was describing with Scallion's three monitors in front of him, that kind of thing. If you're getting, you can get information. You can get alpha waves or electromagnetic radiation, which is what our soul is and what a television signal and radio signal is. You can get that without, that's not going to cause an explosion. So you can get information from parallel universes. What you can't do is take a souvenir back.
Right. Well, my question, I guess, is the parallel universe theory, the way I understand it, says that there is an infinite number of realities. In other words, an infinite number of universes.
Right.
Therefore, how could a person in, quote, this reality possibly know or communicate with the infinite?
Well, he doesn't have to. For example, when I do progressions, I obviously agree with the infinite mentality, but, you know, I just can't have a patient say, keep on coming back for the next 10,000 years so we can lay out all your frequencies, because when people come to my office from before is that what they'll do is they'll lay out, I'll ask them, I'll guide them into the progress, and they'll lay out their options, and then they'll choose their ideal future, therefore custom design their own reality. That earlier call from Diane from Oceanside was an example. That's what she did earlier this year. But what I'm saying is that what I have found out is that although there's an infinite number, there seem to be five major categories. Each category has millions and millions of subsidiaries to it, but you don't have to deal with them. All you have to deal with is the major categories, and then they can choose either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. So I just try to keep it simple.
All right.
Now,
Doctor,
yeah.
Hold it right there. We'll be right back to you. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest. This is Dreamland. Many of you health-conscious folks are familiar with antioxidants and their amazing health benefits. Now, vitamin C is probably the most famous of these. UCLA scientists found that antioxidant vitamin C can help avoid cancers, strokes, heart attacks, increase life expectancy an average of 5 years. Well, now, there are new antioxidants on the market, and listen, scientists say they are 20 times more powerful. To Dr. Goldberg and to the telephones. You there, Doctor?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're rocking. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Vancouver, Washington. Well, my friend's going to turn down the radio right now.
All right, that's good.
Pardon me, I'm getting over a cold here. About the earthquake, going back to that, I can't believe nobody thought of this. I called the little TV station here, Channel 8, and I asked them if they had information about the earthquake. I hadn't heard anything. They told me that the Japanese Geological Survey people said it was a 5.8.
Oh, a reverse of the 8.5.
That's right.
Well, that's sure in the way it broke, and I could give you 6 examples of major U.S. press that got it as 8.5.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do some remote viewing on dyslexia.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that'd be
very interesting.
Yeah, and for Dr. Goldberg, yeah, here, I'm surprised, I have to say this, I'm surprised as a scientist, I do follow Gordon Michael Scowling, of course, and I've listened to Art Bell's show for a while, that you were talking about Gordon Michael and his predictions, but you have never researched his stuff. I guess you don't know then that he does talk about various dimensions. He even goes up to 7 dimensions. And I think it was 2 or 3 months ago in his Earth Changes Report magazine, he discusses the different dimensions and the way they will change in the future.
What I was referring to was on July 15th of 94, he was on Encounters. And what he was talking about was, of course, the map, of course, the famous map was on there and this and that. But his whole mentality was prepare for the worst, start packing away the canned food. There's not much we can do about it, and it's going to be a major Armageddon before the year 2000. It was mentioned as a soundbite over and over again during his interview. And that was seen by, you know, well, it's Fox, but it was seen by probably 10, 15 million people, which is a lot more than his readership in his newsletters. And that was my concern, because that also coincided with the ancient prophecies and the NBC stuff and some of the other stuff that has been gloom and doom oriented over and over again. You know, every time one of those shows air, I get the calls, you know, because people know that I'm the positive one here, and I get the calls to people going through almost major depression and anxiety disorders because they're afraid that their life is going to end. I had a patient, a former patient, who called after seeing one of those shows and was going to move out of the state because of this, of the airing of the Encounter show.
Okay, but
that's how I have a responsibility to try to say, look, please calm down, just like, you know, just sit down a minute. This is not necessarily going to be the reality. So what I'm saying is that there doesn't seem to be a counterbalance. On the Encounter show and on the Ancient Prophecy, they didn't have a counterbalancing aspect. It was basically gloom and doom and just look at it and suffer and let's see what the ratings are. They weren't balancing out with people like me on, and that's the problem I have with a one-sided opinion, and it was all negative.
Okay, 2 things. What does Armageddon mean?
Well, I'm just referring to the biblical reference of the world ending and whatever the of course they I'm not trying to get into the theological aspect of the Antichrist. I'm not going into all that. I'm just talking about the major calamities of the geophysical disasters, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the floods, the major geophysical disasters that will significantly impair civilization as we know it.
Well, on the other hand, though, biblically, it does describe such events prior to the return of.
Right, of course it does. But the point is that even Nostradamus, when he talks about his form of an Armageddon, even he talks about how going into the year 21 something after a major nuclear war, which of course didn't happen because it was supposed to begin in 1988, according to Nostradamus in May, that there was a very positive, beautiful world, and the 21st century was beautiful, etc. Even he says that, which the Bible does too, after the Armageddon, so to speak.
That's what Armageddon means is rebirth.
But people don't get that. All they get, this is the calls I get. So you have to be from my perspective. The calls I get are people who are shaking on the phone, their voices are hoarse. They're sitting there looking for their Prozac, you know, and they're saying, "Doctor, my life is over. What am I going to do? I don't know if I can see you. You may be the last person on the earth I say this to." I mean, when I hear that, I say to myself, I've got a responsibility here.
All right.
I have one more question, Art, for you.
Very quickly.
Have you heard anything about the recent chamber that they discovered underneath the Sphinx in Egypt?
I've heard a great deal about it. All right, thank you very much. Yes, I have heard. And I heard that there was a portion of the chamber that was damaged in the recent earthquake in Egypt, by the way. That one, there's no argument about the reporting on that one. Actually, the earthquake was in Israel and damaged a portion of a chamber in Egypt. That much I know. Back in a moment, from an area near what's called Dreamland, Area 51. This is Dreamland.
Coast AIM with Art Bell.
And Art Bell.
Okay, here again I am. Boy, talk about something that is hard to put your finger on. I've got a fax here from somebody else who sent me a USGS report that is now reporting the earthquake, originally reported as 8.5, as 6.4 at a depth of 33 kilometers in the islands K-U-R-I-L, Kurgil, I believe, islands of the former Soviet Union. So I've had this now reported at every magnitude under the sun, literally under the sun, and they do indeed report it as 6.4. So I have no idea what to believe. Somebody called a little while ago, I'm sure you heard them, and said 5.8 and thought it was a case of dyspnea. I have no idea what truth is. You will hear the original reports on the Coast show that is going to repeat if you get it following this program this morning. Absolutely incredible. Nothing short of incredible. GMX. Hard water? No problem. GMX.
The report being a pure light being. Extraterrestrial, by the way. And that's how they originally were trapped in the karmic cycle by sort of like not doing what they were supposed to do. But it's a very controlled kind of experience. I describe a chapter of this in Past Life, Future Lives about a light people experience. But it's a very, very, it's almost like doing a past life regression in a glass bubble. It's very controlled. It's censored. It's a very, very difficult experience for the patient. Not harmful, just that it's hard to get information. But it's very extraterrestrial because this will go back a million or 2 million B.C., if not before. And some of your listeners out there may have had dreams about that, where they were some sort of light being, so to speak, not communicating with an extraterrestrial who was, but they themselves were, and that would be what we call the light people regressions, which are infrequent but do exist.
All right, try this fact. Let me read it to you, then you react. Art, I'd like to ask your guest what his feelings are about the difference between seeing the future and creating it. It is my experience that when I see the future, there's a great amount of latitude in believing in the foreseen outcome and choosing to change it, if only through our own thoughts. My personal feelings are that if disasters are to occur, it will be because we have all, in effect, voted for it with our thoughts and emotions for various reasons. You get what you concentrate on. And he gives a note at the bottom, there is an upcoming ABC program on remote viewing, and I'll have to watch for that.
Very good. There's also an NBC movie for television on UFOs on Monday night, by the way.
Boy, I'll tell you, it brings another good question, Doctor. Whether it's your field or ufology or whatever it is, we are being, now I've been doing this show for years, or a show like it, but we're being all of a sudden inundated.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, of course, you know, the media mentality is if it's hot, just keep doing it until it dies out. But I wrote you in that little fact I sent you earlier that I did a taping for the Gabrielle National talk show.
Yes.
It's a talk show. And the topic was angels. And they had me on because I also am an expert in that. And it'll be aired in a couple of weeks in which I'll be talking about some of my patient cases who had angelic experiences in dreams, and they actually manifested to, in one case, a woman saved her mother's life by using the information that her angels gave her. But going back to the question, which is a very good one, in reality, what that person is saying is exactly what I'm saying, as well as what quantum physics says, is that there is no certainty out there. Your mind does create the reality. The thoughts, our thoughts are electromagnetic radiation. That is the wavelength of what we call the soul or spirit. It's like a TV or radio signal. That's what electromagnetic radiation is. And, in fact, as I gave you the example before about the friction experiment, if you don't observe it, it doesn't exist. That's what we're saying. So when patients come to see me here in Los Angeles, what I do is I help them lay out, or I ask them the right questions in trance to have them lay out their future alternatives, and then they can choose and be programmed for their ideal options. So if your life is miserable now, and a lot of listeners out there will fit into this category where there are a lot of things going on in their lives that are not happy, it doesn't mean that you are you have to suffer in the space for the rest of this lifetime or for eternity. You simply have to get your act together by accessing your higher self, perceiving the other options out there, retraining your mind so that instead of thinking about your cup being half full or not a drop in it, your cup is overflowing, so to speak, and that's the empowerment and the optimism. And that's why I always go against the gloom and doomers, whether it be in economics and politics or in the metaphysical field, because what they're doing is sending out the energy that says, hey guys, life sucks and then you die, and I got a real problem with that.
Well, if enough people think life sucks, then you die, that could become reality?
To them, but not necessarily for me or anybody else who doesn't buy that routine. You see, I create my own world, and I'm not deluding myself.
David Koresh, down at Mount Carmel, did he create his own Armageddon?
Yeah, well, basically he did. I mean, you know, he sort of like went out with flame, you know. I mean, but yeah, you create your own. I mean, so did Hitler, and so did Florence Nightingale. I mean, you create her positivity. You can do whatever you want. My point here is that what people assume is that, you see, the reason why television is used so much to brainwash people, it's a great, great brainwashing medium, because people will buy whatever you put on television. If you put it on long enough, if you market it right, it'll sell. It doesn't matter what it is. The greatest inventions of society, the greatest technological improvements, were every one of them was laughed at. People would say, get a horse, when the car was invented about 100 some odd years ago, right? The light bulb was laughed at. Everything was laughed at until all of a sudden, 20 years later, people say, you know, I don't know how we live without this device. And the point here is that to be the pioneer in the field, for example, you talk about all the metaphysical things. 18 years ago, when I did progression, when I would do TV interviews, or,
yes,
sorry, 1980, producers would say, listen, doctor, you know, your work is a little weird. We like you, but your work is a little weird. So you can talk about the regressions, but please don't deal with progressions. You know, it's a little bit too, regressions are more difficult enough. And I would say, fine. I would just ignore them and talk about progressions. And people seem to like it at the same time. Now, everybody wants to do progressions now. That's why NBC called me last year for those. Everybody, why? Because it hasn't been done before. I mean, at least nobody, you know, my past life feature life was the first book ever written on progression therapy. And basically, so people, it's something new, but it's also empowering. And interestingly enough, although I don't think that's the media's orientation to it, the reason I like this field so much is not just because it's new and improved, but because it is empowering. It does give the average person out there, you don't have to be a celebrity, you know, you can be an average person out there.
All right. Doctor, hold it. If there are any number of possible parallel universes, then when you progress somebody, an individual, you are reading but that individual universe, are you not? Or are you reading something that will be collectively true?
No, it's individual. Because, for example, like, here's a good example. Let me give you a great case. It's a case of a woman I did years ago when I was in Baltimore. She was a working for a public relations firm as a secretary. She was sexually harassed by a boss and gave in to him because he needed the job. She looked like Adrienne from Rocky One, you know, mousy looking, and although, you know, so she had weight problems, she was smoking, she had everything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it turns out, she goes into the future of this life by about 4 or 5 years. She sees herself buying into a radio station in Florida, looking differently, having a completely empowered life, and she goes, doctor, this is about the greatest fantasy trip I've ever had, or what's going to happen? I said, look, it's a reality. Let's check it out. So as it turns out, I don't hear from her. 6 months later, she leaves. She doesn't call me back. Her number's disconnected. I hear from her a year and a half later. She says, I moved to Florida. I want to come home for Thanksgiving, and I'd like to see you and just talk to you and update you with my life. And I said, fine. She comes into my office. She looks totally different. She looks like a model now. She's a beautiful woman.
Hmm.
She lost weight. She stopped smoking. She quit her job. She did buy into a radio station. She ran her own public relations firm. Everything she told me, or just about everything I could think of that was verifiable in her progressions, all came true.
All right, well, then maybe in Gordon Michael Scallion's world, California does fall into the ocean.
And people who follow him, this is the problem I have, and people are willing.
All those people follow him, they fall into.
It's just like the Poseidon adventure. When they follow the doctor, they wound up drowned, you know?
All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hi.
Hey, I have a question for the doctor.
Sure, where are you?
Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas,
right?
Yes.
Have you ever done a past life regression where the person has been someone in the time of when the Bible, when the stories in the Bible were written?
Well, actually, I've done regressions more New Testament than Old Testament. I don't know anybody who hung around with Moses or Abraham, but I do have work with people who were around, and actually some people actually saw Christ crucified. So the New Testament stories are much more relevant to what people have reported to me in past lives.
Really, thank you.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Well then, was Christ crucified in all past lives, Doctor, or just some?
Well, see, this is where in reality, we don't know the answer to that. The theoretical basis here is that it's not necessarily in every single one.
I know,
wasn't killed in every single parallel universe.
Well, that's what I'm trying to cause you trouble here. In other words, if the future is variable, then why is not the past?
The past actually is, the problem with the past being changeable is what quantum physics says, and they prove this by very complicated mathematical equations, is that the more observable the event, as in the media, like everybody covered the Lincoln assassination, as well as the Kennedy, then you can't change that. Whereas the future, by our definition, is not observed, therefore we can't change it. So there are parallel universes in the past, too, but because events are observed, and the more observed they are, the less you can change them.
Huh. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hello.
Just turn your radio off. That is number one. Get that radio off.
And stay where you are, and your social security number too. No,
yeah, that's right.
So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, good.
Doctor, first of all, I just want to let you know that I'm enjoying this show tonight. It's incredible. And I want to ask the doctor if you could describe the process as quickly as you could of what goes on between you and the patient.
Sure. Well, first of all, the process of hypnosis is you can identify driving in your car in the freeway or highway and being in a daydream level where you pass by exits that you have done on routine trips and not realize where you are but not get into an accident. Then you can relate to what hypnosis is like. It's a daydream state. What I do with the patient, after I explain what I'm doing first, I get a history from them, what their goals are, and then I describe the techniques that we're going to be using with them, and then I guide them into the initial hypnotic level. Then we'll do usually an age regression and past life regression on the first session, and then we'll follow it up with superconscious mind taps, and then we'll end the therapy with doing progressions into the future of this life, and if the patient is interested, we go into future lives too.
Get all that?
Absolutely. And I just wanted to make one more quick comment. I found it very interesting when you were talking a little while ago about how possibly there could be a bias of the scientist to the observable phenomenon in relating natural science to social science. There's a book that I'm reading right now that talks about that exact thing. It's relating quantum physics to other types of social science in the process of testing and how social science there is such a participatory bias. So I thought that was.
Well, also, don't forget, social sciences, and as in behavioral sciences, are really not really scientific because they're not repeatable. They don't have the same rules that physics and chemistry and medicine and pharmacology do. So, but the point is that even if you take our really ultra-hard-nosed science, like physics and let's say biology, if you will, it doesn't mean anything because if I'm not there to watch you dissect a frog when you were in high school, it never happened.
All right, Doctor. Hold on. We'll be right back to you. Dr. Bruce Goldberg is my guest. And another number for you is Dr. Goldberg's, his tapes, his information, all the rest of it, 1-800-KARMA for you. That's an easy number to remember, right, Doctor?
That's
1-800.
Right. You can also write to me at 4300 Natoma, N as in Nancy, A-T-O-M-A Avenue in Woodland Hills, California, 91364.
Okay, but the number is what everybody's going to remember.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 1-800-KARMA for you, right?
1-800-527-6248, which is 1-800-KARMA for you.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Where are you calling from, please?
Huh?
Huh? Where are you calling from, sir?
Wichita.
Wichita. Sorry. All right, turn your radio off.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, now I do not dream.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. You dream for 3 hours a night or you would be a corpse right now. You would be... Yeah, seriously, the research in every dream laboratory, everything from UCLA to Maimonides in New York to every place else, shows that every human being, if you sleep for 8 hours,
what
you
he
may
means,
not remember them.
What,
dream,
doctor, what he means is he doesn't remember
right,
dreams.
You don't remember them, right, but you when go into REM for 3 hours a night.
When I was a child, I can remember dreams.
Okay.
But I have not remembered dreams in probably 30 years.
Okay,
I have a hard time going to sleep also.
Right.
Okay, now insomnia is a big issue, and there is a tape I have which is also on how to very simply, very naturally guide you into very natural sleep. Because because you have to deal with these. If you have insomnia, you automatically are very compromised in your emotional and energy cleansing of your day-to-day life. Insomnia is a real no-no. So it's very simple to get rid of. I mean, it is absolutely one of the easiest things I deal with.
Well, once I go to sleep, I can sleep, but like I say, it takes me an hour.
Right. It
should
take you more than 20 minutes. If it takes more than 20 minutes to fall asleep, then you have type 1 insomnia. If you wake up in the middle of the night or every hour and a half or 2 hours during the REM cycle, that's called type 2. And if you wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and can't get back to sleep, that's the worst type. That's type 3. Those are all very negative to your emotional growth.
Boy, I've been all three of those.
Yeah, but you have a weird schedule. You're violating every rule in the world of biology.
I know. It'll probably get me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
San Diego.
San Diego, all right.
Yes, through your studies, what is the most unusual dreams that you have encountered, and what made you get into the field of dreams?
All right.
Well, the most unusual dreams were the light people that I mentioned earlier, about people who were pure light as extraterrestrials, and this was their first life on Earth. And they were so restricting and so difficult for the patient that I investigated those a lot further, and about 5% of my regressions are light people regressions. Their dreams themselves were simply came up as a subsequent side effect to doing the past life regressions with my patients in the waking state or the hypnotic level. Only after I started doing it, developed the practice, that people start saying, you know, doctor, I had this weird dream of me, and it looked like I was in a Greek outfit during the Battle of Troy here. And then I started correlating the dreams as sneak previews, and then, of course, doing a lot of reading and research with the precognitive dreams, the out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, the idea of psychic dreams, if you will, precognitive, as we call them, and the idea of lucid dreaming, which is a whole other topic, too. That also came up as a result of doing the work. You really can't do this field and be an expert and not deal with dreams, because it's part of everything. Any psychotherapist, if they don't deal with dreams in some way, they're just missing the boat.
All right, good. East of the Rockies, not a lot of time. You're on the air with Dr. Goldberg. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Ruby in Missouri. I'd like to ask Dr. Goldberg a question.
All right.
Sure. Just a second ago, you said David Koresh created his own Armageddon, correct?
No, I asked, and he confirmed, yes.
Yeah, okay. My question is, do young children who are severely and profoundly abused create their own child abuse?
Oh, good question.
Actually, it's a very good question, because everybody chooses their own positivities and negativities in life. So, yes, those children who were killed by Koresh and children who are abused by some stepfather or father or uncle or whatever are definitely choosing that. That doesn't make it okay for the person to be the perpetrator, but yes, there are no, quote, victims that don't choose that. My point here is to train people to not accept the victim mentality, and that's called empowerment.
That's absolutely incredible.
Because if you're empowered, you won't choose to be a child who's sexually abused. You'll choose to be a child who grows up in somewhat of a Donna Reed lifestyle, you know, and not what goes on today, where something like the predictions are 25% of women under 18 have been sexually molested, which, you know, I have a problem with those figures, but it's a lot, and it's way too much.
So the ones that have brought it on themselves.
Right, just as people who are dying in a car crash or a plane crash or a military operation or dying by some just maniac on the road.
Wait a minute. When a 747 goes down, which it hasn't, thank God, recently, and there are 500 people on board.
Every one of them chose to die. Every single one of them. You choose the moment of death.
That's an incredible thing to say.
Well, it's also true, though. It's based upon not only my research, but also my colleagues in the field will tell you that, too. It's because karmically, the rules of karma is that, see, the rules of karma says that you really do have complete control over your destiny, and that's the only incentive to be a quality citizen and to empower yourself. Because if you had no control, then nobody would give a flying hoot, and everybody would just go killing each other and just making all kinds of, breaking all kinds of laws because they wouldn't have to pay for them. If you choose them and have to actually take amends to everything that you do, that's the ultimate. Karmic justice is the ultimate law of the universe and the only way we can actually keep our society and our civilization act.
All right. Fascinating. Doctor, we're out of time.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It has been wonderful. You know, we'll have you back again.
Certainly.
And we sure have ended it at a fascinating point. Doctor, thank you.
My pleasure, Art.
Good night. Dr. Bruce Goldberg has been my guest, and boy, that ought to give you a lot to chew on. Remember, if you want to renew your newsletter at the present good, reasonable, cheap rate, the number to call is 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. For a very limited time, very, very limited, we're offering autographed versions of my book for Christmas. There's just kind of a very special Christmas deal. It's the Art Bell Art of Talk book. And you will love it. It's an extremely high-quality book. If you want an autographed version between now and December 4th, frankly, it better be now, because I might be back next week saying they are already all gone. It is distinctly possible. Don't wait. Make a great Christmas present for anybody who enjoys listening to the strange goings-on that happen here and on all my programs, for that matter. The number to call to order it right now is 1-800-864-7991. Keep trying so you get through. 1-800-864-7991. From an area near Dreamland in the high desert. Good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.